If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, word for Memorial Day weekend, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this day. I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just show us this morning what we need to be doing, Lord, in order to have our memory extended, in order that our memory might endure forever for good things for generations to come. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. I ask all this in your name. Amen. Well, it finally happened. People finally realized that Taylor Swift is God. Last Sunday, May the 12th, at the famous historic 600-year-old Church of the Holy Spirit in Heidelberg, Germany, where the famous Heidelberg Catechism was published in 1563, they had a Taylor Swift worship service with all Taylor Swift songs and banners with the LGBTQ pride colors that Taylor Swift always pushes. And over 1,200 Swifties, mostly young women, packed the place out. People, that's not the Church of the Holy Spirit. That's the Church of Laodicea. And one of the girls at that service said this: it wasn't just magical, it was divine. Taylor Swift doesn't just point us to God, it's like she's God herself. And who she is and what she did here will be remembered forever. Gee, happy Memorial Day. And the question is, on Memorial Day, what should we remember? And who should we remember? And how are we going to be remembered ourselves if we die before Jesus comes back? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We turn today to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And our text today gives us all kinds of wisdom about remembering. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we got to make sure that what we remember and who we remember and how we're going to be remembered ourselves is a blessing and not a curse. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, tells us three things that we need to remember on Memorial Day so that we can be blessed and not cursed ourselves. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to remember on Memorial Day, we need to remember, period. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 7. Because too many people today don't hardly remember anything at all. Because of smartphones, the average American's attention span is now less than 7 seconds. People don't remember. Lady Gaga is now telling young people, the world began the day that you were born. So anything that happened before that, forget it, doesn't matter, it's yesterday's news. People don't want to remember. The slogan is, Pepperidge Farm remembers. The problem is, 80% of Americans don't remember Pepperidge Farm. The older you get, three things happen. First, you lose your memory. And then I can't remember what the other two things are. People don't remember. And that's why God tells us over and over again to remember all kinds of things. That word remember is found 552 times in your Bible because God knows we'll forget if we don't remember. God told the Israelites to remember Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Do not forget the Lord your God. He told them to remember who He was. Not Caitlin Clark or Caleb Williams or Wonk and Tonk of the Sioux Indians or Cucamonga the Zulu elephant God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God told the Israelites to remember what He had done for them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, He was the Lord their God who brought them out of slavery in the land of Egypt. God tells us Christians to remember what He did for us in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, how Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead to take our sins away. And Christians are supposed to take communion to remember that. Jesus said, Luke chapter 22, verse 19, do this in remembrance of Me. But the problem is, all kinds of churches today aren't doing communion at all anymore. And you know why? It takes too much time. Because they got to get in all their Jesus is my boyfriend worship songs instead. There's young people listening to this sermon right now. Let me ask you, do you remember? I've warned you over and over again for years and years. One day, you go to one of those indoctrination centers, formerly known as a college, there's going to be all kinds of leftist troll professors who have absolutely dedicated their entire lives to destroying whatever shred of Christian faith you have. And I know that because that's exactly what those same kind of trolls tried to do to me at Illinois Wesleyan University 40 years ago. And I know it's a lot worse today than it ever was back then. That's right. I could take you right now to that fellowship hall and show you the history board all the young people who've gotten confirmed in this church by me, who have walked away from the Lord. 3 out of 4 Christian young people turn their back on their faith when they get out of high school, and it's nobody's fault but theirs. So young people, listen to me. What's going to keep you from going AWOL? What's going to keep you from being MIA? What's going to keep you from being another statistic? It's right there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Remember what you learned and who it was that taught it to you. Your parents and people in this church who taught you that this Bible was true. And for years and years in sermons, I have given you all kinds of scientific and historical and archaeological evidence to prove that it's true. Amen. Young people, remember. And notice it's not a suggestion, it's a command. This is something that you purposely have to choose to do. Because if you don't, I guarantee you, just as sure as you are sitting there right now, you will fall away. Amen. There's young people listening to this sermon right now. You're falling away already because you're not praying. And you're into TikTok instead of being into the Word. And it's porn and it's partying and it's unsaved boyfriends and girlfriends that God told you to stay away from. Remember, do not forget the Lord your God. Remember like your very ever-loving soul depends on it, because it does. Remember. But too many people don't remember. They don't remember what God has done for this country. Memorial Day originally started during the Civil War to remember all the Northern troops who died trying to save the Union. But the sad thing is, half the people in this country have no idea what Memorial Day means anymore. See, Memorial Day now means there's a 50% off sale at Ashley Furniture. This coming June the 6th is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And yet, 1 out of 3 college students in America don't know that D-Day even occurred during World War II. 1 out of 10 college students thinks D-Day happened at Pearl Harbor. 1 out of 20 college students actually thinks D-Day is when Dolly Parton sings at Dollywood. No kidding. And you know why? Because only 18% of colleges and universities in America still require even one class on American history for graduation. C.S. Lewis said it's better to be reminded than instructed. So sticky note, Palm Pilot, BlackBerry, voice recorder on your phone, do whatever you have to do. Do not forget the Lord your God and what He's done for you and what He's done for this nation. Amen. But people have forgotten. And as a result, our nation is dying. Joe Biden going all over the place saying that inflation was 9% when he took office, even though January 2021, under President Donald Trump, it was only 1.4%. And the sad thing is, half the people in this country who don't want to remember are stupid enough to believe the lie. Amen. All the COVIDian fascists like Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates and Francis Collins now going around saying all the COVID restrictions, they were purely voluntary. We never forced anybody to do anything. Are you kidding me? All the people and the doctors and nurses and U.S. military soldiers who lost their jobs and got canned because they wouldn't take the clot shot. You don't remember no jab, no job. All the churches and schools and businesses that were closed down. And you know why they want you to forget it? Because they want to do exactly the same thing all over again. And they know those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. Pro-Palestinian protesters all over America, vandalizing military monuments from the Civil War, World War I, and World War II. Spitting all over the sacrifice our soldiers made to keep this nation free. They don't remember. Amen. We need to remember. Amen. We need to remember American soldiers. We need to remember American soldiers like him. Lord. Sue's mom, Elaine Husted, was an orator. And she had a sister named Christine who married a guy named Gilbert Meyer from St. Louis who worked at KMOX-TV down there. So for years and years, the Myers in St. Louis would go to Watseka and visit the Husteds, and all the Husteds in Watseka would go to St. Louis and visit the Myers. So right after Sue and I got married, we went down to St. Louis to visit Gilbert and Christine too. And Gilbert knew the city, he's going to take us all around, show us the St. Louis Arch, the whole ball of wax. So that Saturday morning, I was sitting on the couch waiting to go. Gilbert came in and sat down next to me. And I noticed on a side table there was a picture of him at the SS Arizona in Pearl Harbor. And all I did was ask him when he got to go to Hawaii. For the next hour and a half, that little old man just unloaded. and told me that he'd been drafted into World War II in early 1942 and sent to the Philippines in the South Pacific. And then August 1942, he was one of 12,000 American soldiers who had been captured by the Japanese and forced on the Bataan Death March, where the Japanese made American POWs march 70 miles over 6 days nonstop under a blazing sun with no food and no water. And anybody who asked for a drink, anybody who tried to stop to pee, anybody who fell or tripped or keeled over was shot or bayoneted or dragged behind trucks with a rope around their neck, and hundreds of Americans died. Then the rest of them got put on train cars, he said, and taken to a hellhole called Camp O'Donnell, where thousands more Americans were worked and starved and tortured to death. And little Gilbert Meyer was right in the middle of the whole thing. And as he's telling me this, his wife and his kids were on the other side of the living room. Their jaws were on the floor because he had never said anything about this before to anybody, not even them, because that generation didn't talk about it. And why he told it to me, I have no idea. And for the next 3 years, Gilbert Meyer was in that hellhole. Every single night, listening to men screaming and crying and praying to God while they was getting beat to death and thinking any second it was going to be him. And just about the only food they got was moldy rice that had maggots in it. And they were actually thankful for the maggots because at least it meant they were getting some protein. Gilbert Meyer was liberated January 1945. He weighed less than 80 pounds. Had malaria, dysentery, pneumonia, beriberi, the whole nine yards. Came back to America, worked for a power line company, met his wife Christine. She was working at a restaurant in North Dakota. They got married, went to St. Louis. And had three kids. And for the rest of his life, he couldn't stand loud noises from all the PTSD from the bombs in the war. My God, people, how in the world do you go through that kind of hell and not be changed for the rest of your life? And yet that little old man for 50 years just sucked it up and never said a word until that day he told it to me. And here's the kicker. 1995, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did a story on Gilbert Meyer's family with a family picture taken in 1938. There's Gilbert there, bottom right-hand corner. His parents, Ernie and Alma, his sister, Virginia, and his four brothers, Harvey, Donald, Howard, and Vernon. Notice, a five-star family, because all five sons were drafted into World War II, all five. And get this, Donald and Howard were killed and buried in Italy. Vernon was killed and buried on Iwo Jima. So when Gilbert was captured by the Japanese, the War Department did a Saving Private Ryan and went and found Brother Harvey somewhere in Belgium and brought him home so Ernie and Alma wouldn't lose all five sons. Secretary of the Navy James Forrestal wrote Gilbert's parents a letter that said this, "Your sacrifice in this war has indeed been great." But his parents never got to read it because by that time his dad had died from all the stress and Gilbert's mom simply lost her mind and was put in an institution. She was so bad he never even knew if she ever really understood that he'd even survived the war and made it back home. How many of y'all realize the casualties of World War II just didn't happen over there? They also happened here. My God, people, can we imagine? Can we even begin to imagine the hell that generation went through to save the world? And what Gilbert Meyer did and what his brothers did and what his family went through, that was all done for us. Amen. Gilbert Meyer eventually got saved. He's a born-again Christian. Before he died, he filled out a card that was passed out in his church. The card asked the question, "What is the purpose for your life?" Gilbert Meyer responded to that, "My purpose is to know and to love and to serve Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Gilbert Meyer died October 8, 2011, and Sue and I were there. Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery when he was buried. And when that color guard folded up that flag and handed it to his wife, I bawled like a baby. But see, just another racist, white supremacist, Christian nationalist, right? No. God was an American hero. Folks, not a Memorial Day, a 4th of July, or a Veterans Day goes by that I don't remember Gilbert Meyer and his family. And God help us, people, if this nation ever forgets that freedom isn't free. If we forget the sacrifice that it takes to hang on to it and the God who gave our soldiers the gravel in their gut and their spit in the eye to do it, this nation is finished for sure. Amen. Psalm chapter 20, verse 3, remember the sacrifice. The first thing we need to remember on Memorial Day, we need to remember that we got to remember. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to remember on Memorial Day. We not only need to remember, period, we also need to remember very special people that God put in our lives. And that's also what it's saying here in verse 7. Because you know what? There is no such thing as a self-made man. Every single one of us is a product of all kinds of people that God has placed in our lives to influence us and to make us the people we are today. Hallelujah. And don't tell me that influence can't last generation after generation. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14 says King David was a man after God's own heart. And then decades later, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5, one of David's descendants, Abijah, was king over Judah. And even though he was as wicked and evil as Cruella de Vil, God never took him out. God never judged him. God didn't vaporize him on the spot. And not only that, God even blessed his kingdom during his reign. And why? 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 4, for the sake of David. All those years later, the memory of King David was so good, and the influence that he had still had that much cachet. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. So let me ask you this morning, who are those people that you need to remember? Who are those people that had that lasting influence on you? For me, there's a lot of them. And it started right up there with my mom's dad, Ernest Garlitz, my grandpa. No, I loved him, but he drank like a fish and started all kinds of crap and all kinds of dysfunction that's been going on in my family for five generations now. But see, his wife, Marie Garlitz, my grandma, she was a Christian. And even though she was dirt poor and never had a thing, she wrote me all kinds of letters when I was in college to keep me going because I hated every minute of it. And she could never go to church because of her husband. But what she did, she made all 10 of her kids, my mom was the oldest, go to Sunday school and get confirmed. So my mom made me and my two older brothers go to Sunday school and get confirmed too. Notice, my mom, not my dad. I love my dad with all my heart. My dad taught me all kinds of good things. Never mow grass if you're not wearing hard shoes. Never pass a gas station if you got less than a quarter of a tank. Nothing good ever goes on after midnight. My dad taught me a lot of good things. But my dad never taught me diddly squat about spiritual things because my dad wasn't saved. Now, praise God, I was able to lead my father to saving faith in Jesus Christ before he died of a brain tumor in 1998. But people, listen to me. I know exactly what it's like to grow up in a house where mom is the spiritual leader because dad just doesn't have it. So all you spiritual leader moms sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon, listen to me. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare get down or get discouraged because look at me. I am living, breathing proof that you can do it. It's all kinds of people in my life that influence me that aren't dead yet. Jimmy Swigert. Jimmy Swigert led me to salvation in Jesus Christ over the TV, July 21st, 1984. When I started Trinity Seminary in Deerfield, my academic advisor was Dr. David Larson, PhD in communications from Stanford, incredible preacher, taught me how to preach without notes, preached here at Fox River Church two different times. But after my very first lab sermon with him at seminary, he said, Garner, you got a voice dull as ditch water. So you know what he did? He made me stand out on the street and preach to people and read the Bible to people who were walking by. And I told him, I said, these people are going to think I'm nuts. You know what he said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Kevin. How about you? David Larson died back in 2022. Towards the end of seminary, I did a nine-month internship at a church in Iowa with this guy, Pastor Mark Noreen. I don't know if he's alive or dead today. This guy taught me how to pastor a church, as good or bad as I do it. He also taught me that anything every church does says something. And troubled people cause trouble, and I've never forgotten it. Before I even went to seminary, I did jail ministry, witnessing and preaching to prisoners at Iroquois County Jail on Sunday afternoons with this guy right here. Farmer from Cisna Park named Kenny Blank, who wanted to see people saved so bad. You remember years ago when department stores would have whole lines of TV and the TVs would be turned on and they'd be playing for people wanting to buy? He would go into those department stores and change every one of those TVs to a Christian channel so that maybe somebody walking by would hear about Jesus. Kenny Blank taught me how to witness to people even when they hated your guts. He also taught me spiritual warfare. So this guy taught me how to preach a sermon. This guy taught me how to pastor a church. This guy taught me how to witness and cast out demons. So parts of all those people all rolled up into one is exactly what you see standing in front of you right now. Kevin Garner is not a self-made man because I had a lot of help. Who are those people that helped you? Who are those people that had that influence on you? And don't tell me that that influence cannot last generation after generation and be all kinds of blessings down the road many, many years later. Picture you see on the screen is my dad's father, Harold Garner, my grandpa. And over here is Harold's father, Alfred Garner, my great-grandpa. Now, Alfred Garner was a farmer too, like all the others, but he was also an auctioneer. And during the Depression, when absolutely nothing was moving, he would go to Chicago and get whole warehouses full of stuff that had been repossessed, bring it back to Iroquois County, auction it off on commission for pennies on the dollar, just to try to make some money. And Alfred Garner had a reputation of being honest as the day is long. Well, 1991, I was going to seminary full-time. I was working two part-time jobs, and there was all kinds of churches that wanted to hire me to do pulpit supply. They didn't have a pastor at the time. They wanted me to come and preach on Sunday mornings until they got a pastor. And one of those was a little Dutch Reformed church down in Danforth, Illinois, by Ashka. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they'd pay me $100 a service. They told me to come on a Sunday morning, the first Sunday. They'd hear me preach. They'd interview me, and then they'd make a decision on whether or not they were going to hire me. So I came that first Sunday morning. All the elders were already standing out in front of the church giving me the once-over. And they're saying down there is, you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. And I wasn't Dutch, so I wasn't much at all to them. I've never looked like a pastor. I've never looked like a preacher. I can't help it. And the leader of the elders was an old man named Jim Bowie, like the guy who invented the knife. And he said, you the preacher? And I said, yeah, I'm Kevin Garner. And he said, are you any good? I said, well, I believe that God uses what he gives me to say. And then he said, Garner. He said, you ever heard of an Alfred Garner? I said, yeah, Alfred Garner is my great-grandpa. And that old man just about had a baby. He said, Alfred Garner was your great-grandpa? You are Alfred Garner's great-grandpa. I knew him. He was a great man. He was as honest as the day is long. People interview over. I was in like Flynn. And every Sunday morning and Sunday night when I preached at that church, Jim Bowie was sitting on the front row with all kinds of friends that he brought with him to hear me. Hallelujah. My great-grandfather, Alfred Garner, died in 1969. I was only 6 years old. I barely remember. I don't even remember if I even said anything to him. But his reputation was so good, and his influence was so good, and the memory of him was so good. He got me a preaching job 22 years after he died. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. Who are you remembering today? Who had that influence in your life? Who do you want to influence you? Who do you want to be like today? How about him? Harrison Butker, 3-time Super Bowl champion place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Him and his wife Isabella have two little kids, and they're pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family, pro-Trump, MAGA conservative, Catholic Christians. For the last 3 years, Harrison Butker's been given commencement addresses at all kinds of graduation ceremonies all over America and catching 7 kinds of hell for a lot of the things he says. Well, last Saturday, May the 11th, he gave the commencement address at Catholic Benedictine University in Atchison, Kansas. This is a part of what he said.
Ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
Notice that guy did not say no women should ever have a career. That guy did not say all women should stay home and be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. What he said was, women shouldn't believe the lie that the only real fulfillment you can ever have is by having a high-powered job, because a lot of women find real fulfillment in being married and raising a family. He also spoke out against abortion and LGBTQ, and of course, all hell broke loose. TikTok influencer Jess Piper said this: the harmful remarks by Harrison Butker were sexist, homophobic, anti-trans, anti-abortion, and racist. He never said anything at all about race. Over 220,000 anti-Christian bigots signed a petition demanding that the Kansas City Chiefs kick him off the team. The NFL threw Harrison Butker under the bus. NFL Vice President Jonathan Bean, who's the NFL's chief diversity and inclusion officer, which tells you everything you need to know about the NFL right there, said this: Harrison Butker's views are not those of the NFL as an organization. The NFL is steadfast in our commitment to inclusion, which only makes our league stronger. So evidently, inclusion doesn't include biblical values or anything that runs contrary to the lobotomized groupthink. Folks, why anybody still has anything to do with the Dylan Mulvaney NFL today is absolutely beyond me. The city of Kansas City doxed him and broadcast his home address and phone number so all the crazies could harass him and his family. Sarah Haynes, one of the coven of witches on The View, had this to say.
So this is a very extreme religion, and what bothers me about that as a Christian is that when people abuse Christianity, they often not only cherry pick from the Bible, they misinterpret and lie by omission by taking out parts that would have explained something a little better.
So Harrison Butker cherry picked parts of the Bible that agreed with him and ignored the parts that don't. Okay, where are those parts of the Bible? Where are the verses in the Bible that said God is totally fine with murdering unborn babies? Where in the Bible does it say that castrating 11-year-old boys and giving double mastectomies to 11-year-old girls is somehow the work of the Lord? Those verses aren't there. People, what in the world was so wrong with what Harrison Butker said? People who are married are happier than people who aren't, and married people who have children tend to be happier than married people who don't have children. The Bible says that, science says that, and study after study proves it. And what's so degrading about that? It's true. And Harrison Butker got a standing ovation from the students at Benedictine for saying it. Your marriage and your kids are more important than your career. Oh my gosh, what a scumbag. AOC said this: these dehumanizing remarks by Harrison Butker just perpetuate division and harm women and undermine women's rights. But for the last 2 months, every leftist in America has been supporting Hamas terrorists who spit all over human rights and kidnapped and raped and tortured hundreds of women on October the 7th. But not one single word about that. The hypocrisy takes your breath away. But the good news is, ever since that speech and all the backlash, Harrison Butker jerseys have been the fastest selling football jerseys in the entire NFL. He's selling more jerseys today than even Patrick Mahomes jerseys are selling. He's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's selling more jerseys than Travis Kelce, tied in for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's only famous because he's Taylor Swift's latest boy toy. Because Taylor Swift has already had 23 other girlfriends and is never going to get married because her entire career is based on songs about having really bad judgment about guys. Last April the 11th, the University of Cincinnati had a special graduation ceremony for Travis Kelce and his brother Jason Kelce because they finally got the work done to get their degree. Here's what Travis Kelce did before he got his diploma. Boy, there's class. Travis Kelce living large, shacking up and nailing a pop star who's proven over and over again she does not have the ability to have a lasting relationship with a man. Travis Kelce chugs a beer and tells young people to party their brains out and he's a hero. Harrison Butker honors his wife, tells young people to get married and raise a family, and he's the devil himself. Go figure. Two NFL football players, both Kansas City Chiefs, on exactly the same team, but worlds apart. That one's following God, that one's following the world. That one's manning up, that one's shacking up. That one's honoring marriage. That one's mocking marriage. That one knows what life is all about. That one doesn't have a clue. That one tells young people to grow up. That one tells young people to party down. That one is standing up against the devil. That one is sucking up to the devil. Harrison Butker nothing. It's Harrison Butt Kicker, kicking the devil, taking names, and standing up for the truth of God's word. So you tell me today, which one of those two do you want influencing you? Which one of those two do you want to be like? Which one of those two do you want to remember? Because that one's memory is going to last forever and be a blessing. That one's memory is going to rot away and be a curse. Remember, in a world of Travis Kelce's, be a Harrison Butker. The second thing we need to remember on Memorial Day is all those important people in our lives. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to remember on Memorial Day. We not only need to remember, period. We not only need to remember all the important people in our lives, we also need to remember how we want to be remembered ourselves. And that's also what we see here in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, a godly man leaves a legacy and an inheritance for his kids. So the question is, what legacy, what inheritance are you leaving for your family? And listen, you will leave a legacy. The only question is it going to be a blessing to your family or is it going to be a curse? Bill Gates' father was the director of Planned Parenthood. See the legacy he left for him? No wonder Bill Gates is so hell-bent on depopulating the planet. Pop singer Pink is now letting her 11-year-old daughter sing songs with her on stage during concerts. See what she's passing down to her? Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Don't need to say any more. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, and neither do the nuts. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, the memory of the wicked will rot away.
That's right.
So what's that legacy that you're building for your family? And young people, listen to me. You don't start building that legacy after you graduate from high school. You don't start building that legacy after you get married. You're already building that legacy right now.
Amen.
C.J. Stroud is a quarterback for the Houston Texans and a born-again Christian. That guy has not had a candy bar or a can of pop since he was 6 years old when God told him he was supposed to play in the NFL someday. No processed sugar whatsoever. He is taking care of his temple to fulfill the calling that God has on his life. And now 22 years old and still single, no porn, no sex, no booty calls, no drugs, no drinking. And why? This is what C.J. Stroud said. Every one of us has a responsibility from God to think beyond our own lives to the people who will come after us in our families, to leave them an example to follow by everything we do. So everything we do matters. The way I take care of my body, the choices I make about sex and partying, it's not only for my team, it's not only for my game, most of all, it's for my family, because generations behind me will reap whatever I sow, good or bad, and I want it to be for good.
Amen.
Young people, listen. You are already building your legacy for your family. So every single thing you do or don't do, every single day matters, and it matters a lot. Last May the 16th, they unveiled a 7-foot bronze statue of Billy Graham in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Evangelist Billy Graham preached the gospel to more people in person all over the world than any other human being who has ever lived. And he saved gazillions and gazillions of people and brought them into the kingdom. But you know what Billy Graham said before he died was the biggest regret of his life? Billy Graham, biggest regret of his life. Not that he didn't preach more sermons, not even that he didn't get more people saved. Billy Graham's biggest regret, I did not spend enough time with my children. Billy Graham said that. Parents, you spending enough time with your children? What kind of a legacy are you passing down to them? This couple right here, they're not making that mistake with their children. Steve and Laura Southcombe, I think Steve is doing security detail today.
Yep, he is.
Laura, let me ask you a question. Are you crazy? What in the world are you doing here in church on a Memorial Day weekend? Don't you know that normal people go to beaches and they go to parks and they have cookouts and they shop for mattresses on Memorial Day week? Why in the world are you in church? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they're Christians. And because Jesus Christ is Lord of every single area of their lives, including how they spend their time. And because Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they do it. Over 70% of people in this country who call themselves Christians never go to church at all anymore. They don't remember. They do remember. And what their legacy, what they're passing down, their biggest witness to the next generation is sitting right next to them in the pew. Listen to me. Your legacy is not what you leave to your kids. Your legacy is what you leave in your kids.
Amen.
And they're doing it.
Yep.
What's the legacy you're passing down? What are you going to be remembered for? And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, I blew it. I blew any chance at having a legacy because I screwed up. I screwed up big time. And the only thing I can say, for crying out loud, would you get over yourself, because you cannot possibly screw up your life to the point that God can't fix it and still make you a good example to your family.
Amen.
King David knocked up another man's wife and had him purposely bumped off on a battlefield. So he's not only an adulterer, he was also a murderer, a two-time loser. But the Bible still says David was a man after God's own heart. And why? Because when David sinned, he repented and he turned back to the Lord with all of his heart. And there's absolutely nothing that says you can't do exactly the same thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care if you got raped or abused or molested. I don't care if you got pregnant. I don't care if you got addicted. I don't care if you struggle with same-sex attraction. I don't care how many divorces or DUIs you've had. I don't care how much time you might have spent in the can. You turn to Jesus Christ, He will make you a brand new person. He will recycle your life and give you a brand new start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You say, but Kevin, I'm a flawed person. Yeah, you're a flawed person, but you are in the hands of a flawless God. You are flawed, but you are forgiven. Jesus turns flawed people into godly people. Yeah, you screwed up, but look at how you turned it around. That's the legacy you pass on to your family. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, from this point on, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
There's parents listening to this sermon. Kevin, we screwed up our legacy because we have a kid that walked away from the Lord. And you're not alone. Over 90% of Christian parents have at least one child that gives up on their faith. Kevin, what did we do wrong? Who said you did anything wrong? You are responsible for teaching your kids the truth. You are not responsible for how they respond to it. So them accepting it, walking with Jesus and sticking with it, you're not responsible for that. That's what your kids are responsible for. Well, Kevin, I failed. No, your kids did. For now, anyway. Well, Kevin, we didn't do enough. God thought it was enough. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given you those kids to start with.
Amen.
Listen to me, parents. God didn't reject you. Your kids did. So you keep serving God. You keep speaking life to your kids, because whether your kids want to believe it or not, whether they will ever accept it or not, the number one influence in any kid's life is still their parents. You do not give up your voice to your kids. You keep speaking to them. You keep passing on that godly legacy. You keep loving them. You keep praying for them. And you keep clinging tooth and toenail to that promise. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16. The Lord will bring your children back from the land of the enemy.
Amen.
And just watch. Just watch and see. When it's all said and done, what you're going to be known for. What is this church known for right now? I can tell you what people say about Fox River Church because I get the emails. Fox River's the MAGA church, because that's all Kevin ever talks about is politics. Fox River Church hates LGBTQ people. Fox River Church is racist and we hate black people. Seriously? Last September, a big apartment building collapsed in Davenport, Iowa. And the very next Sunday, a family that were made homeless by the collapse of that apartment building showed up here at Fox River Church. Had no gas in their car, they had no food to eat, and they had no place to go. When the people in this congregation found out about it, they went right to work. We gave that family gas cards, we gave them food to eat, we gave them money so they could start living in a different place over in the Quad Cities. And not only that, it was a mom and three kids and a grandma. Not only that, at the end of the sermon when I gave an altar call, mom got out of her seat, came up to the front of this church and prayed to receive Christ. She got saved. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And should I say it? I hate to say it because I don't think it matters at all, but I am going to say it for all the naysayers. The family was black. But see, Fox River is just racist, and we hate black people here at Fox River. All the good things that happen in this church, all the people that get saved here, all the people that get helped here, all the critics outside, they don't know it. They don't see it, don't know, don't care. But listen to me. God sees it.
Amen.
And why are all those things possible? Why can we do all those good things right now? Because that guy right there did all good things 185 years ago. In case anybody doesn't know, Fox River Church did not start when Sue and I came here back in 1994. Fox River Church did not start when we opened this building in 2006. Fox River Church started back in 1839, 185 years ago, and God used a crazy Norwegian evangelist named Elling Eielson to do it. That guy right there. For thousands of years, this part of Illinois was Illini Indian Territory, visited by Spanish explorers like Cortez and French explorers like De Soto and French missionaries like Pierre Marquette. Around the 1820s, Norwegians started pouring into the Fox River Valley. They were led here by a Norwegian explorer named Kling Pearson, who came to this part of the country, then went back to Norway and told everybody there was good farm ground for cheap in this part of America. So here come the Norwegians. They built a little town in Norway down Highway 71 back in 1834. So the little town of Norway is the oldest permanent Norwegian settlement in the entire United States. And a lot of those Norwegians were Lutherans, and they wanted a real Norwegian Lutheran pastor to come here so they could start a real Norwegian Lutheran church. But the problem was the vast majority of Lutheran pastors in Norway at that time were too scared to get on a ship, sail across the Atlantic Ocean, fight Indians, thugs, prairie fires, and cholera epidemics to come to the little town of Norway, Illinois. And the first three pastors who braved it and were willing to try it after they got here all converted to Mormonism, for crying out loud. Oops, so much for that. But then the very next one they sent for was really called by God, and that was Elling Eielson. Born in Voss, Norway, grew up on a farm, was a blacksmith, he was a carpenter, he served in the Norwegian military. 25 years old, he got radically saved and immediately started preaching the gospel to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Elling Eielson preached to the drunks in the taverns and the Johns in the cat houses. He preached to the miners as they were coming up and from the mines and going down into the mines on different ships. He would stand on the docks and preach to fishermen as the boats were coming in and out. He walked and preached all over Norway and Scandinavia, all over Sweden and Denmark, and got arrested buku times because preaching outside the state church was illegal in Scandinavia. He didn't care. He kept preaching anyway. When he was 35 years old, God called him to come here to Norway, Illinois. Got here in 1839 and immediately organized a church and built a two-story log cabin along the banks of the Fox River with his own hands and his own money. His family lived on the first floor. Church met on the second floor. So you don't need to know this to get to heaven, but that makes Fox River Church the oldest Norwegian Lutheran congregation in America. Woohoo! That log cabin burnt down in 1840. And so that congregation, next slide, built that church on what was then Main Street in Norway. Today it's right behind the Norway store, and it's a Norwegian-American museum. Well, 1840, here in Illinois, there weren't any catechism books in Norwegian, and the closest printing press was all the way in New York City. So Elling Eielson walked to New York City, 840 miles, walked because he couldn't afford a horse. Walked to New York City, got his materials printed in Norwegian, and then walked them back all the way here to Norway. And Elling Eielson did that four more times in the next 10 years just so people in this church could grow in the Lord. And Elling Eielson was like the Apostle Paul because he traveled up and down the Mississippi River Valley, planting and organizing churches everywhere he went. At one point in the 1840s, Elling Eielson was pastoring 27 different churches at the same time in six different states. So in every church, Elling Eielson appointed lay people to do ministry when he was gone. 1859, another Lutheran church started a mile southeast of the church in Norway by Lutherans who didn't like Elling Eielson and didn't like people, lay people doing ministry. 1917, the church in Norway and the church outside of Norway merged together. 1977, they remodeled the church in the country and sold the church in town for a museum. 1994, Sue and I came to serve Fox River. That's the church we came to. Over the years, God brought so many people to that little country church. We were growing, expanding, running out of room, bought property here. 2005, started building this church. We dedicated this church to the glory of God in 2006. We've been here, and we've been growing ever since.
Praise the Lord.
All because of the Lord and Elling Eielson. People, there are records of Elling Eielson walking up and down the Mississippi River Valley, walking because he couldn't afford a horse, sleeping outside in the cold and the wet because he couldn't afford a room. Clothes so worn and tattered and strained, they almost fell off of him. Working and praying and doing everything he possibly could to keep all those congregations together, including Fox River. Even when only two people showed up at an annual meeting. Even though when they paid him chickens and turnips instead of money. But folks, Elling Eielson did it. He did it. Fox River, we are standing on the shoulders of a giant.
Amen.
And because he did all that back then, we can do things like this right now. I got this letter a week and a half ago. Dear Pastor Garner, my 17-year-old daughter and I recently attended a service at your church in April. We live all the way over by Olympia Fields, but a friend told me that we needed to go to your church. My daughter was never saved and never wanted anything to do with Christ her entire life. And the last year and a half, she decided that she was trans, started taking testosterone behind my back, and her friend started calling her Jason instead of Jackie. So whatever made her willing to go to church with me that day, it had to be the Lord. We sat through your whole service, and I really felt that the Holy Spirit was there. And when you gave an altar call, I couldn't believe it. My daughter looked at me and said, Mom, I want to do that. She wouldn't go up front. I hope that's okay. But we held hands, and she prayed with me right there in the pew in the back. Pastor Garner, my daughter was saved in your church. She wants to be a woman again. She's reading the Bible, and for the first time in her life, she's going to a good church and has real Christian friends. If only your church was closer to Olympia Fields. I cannot thank you and your congregation enough for the special ministry you have there at Fox River. Praise the Lord! Praise God! And why is that possible? Because of Elling Eielson. We couldn't do what we do today if he hadn't done what he hadn't done those many years ago. We serve the purposes of God in our generation here because he served the purposes of God in his generation here. That's the legacy he left for Fox River Church. That's how he's going to be remembered now that he's died. The question is this morning, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? How are you going to be remembered after you die? Because you know what's going to happen to you when you die? Some funeral director for somewhere is going to come and get your body. And your friends and family members are going to plan a memorial service for you. And during that memorial service, a bunch of your friends are going to stand up and say some nice things about you. Then when the service is over, they're going to take your body in that casket in a hearse, take you to a cemetery, and then they're going to bury you 6 feet below the ground. Then everybody's going to go back to your house, eat all your food, and then go home and get on with their lives because in America, that's how we do death. And after your generation is gone, and your children's generation is gone, and your grandchildren's generation is gone, the world will never even remember that you ever lived or died. You think I'm wrong? Anybody here remember the 12th president of the United States? No. It was Zachary Taylor. If the world can't remember a president of the United States, do you honest to God think the world is going to remember you?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, even your memory will be forgotten. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. The memory of the wicked will rot. That word rot in Hebrew literally means to rot away. It means to fade away, to fade into oblivion, to disappear. So if you die without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be forgotten, even by God. And all the good things you've ever done are going to be forgotten too. And you will spend eternity separated from God, suffering in a place called hell forever and ever. And except for that, your life will be absolutely nothing. Your life will mean absolutely nothing. Your life will count for absolutely nothing forever and ever. Happy Memorial Day. But see, if you're a Christian, you won't be forgotten. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. How do you get that righteousness? You got to confess your sin to God. You got to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You do that, God will take the sin in your account and credit it to Jesus' account. He will take the righteousness in Jesus' account and credit it to your account. You will be forgiven and you will stand righteous before God. And when you die, you will not be forgotten because you'll be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And all the good things you have ever done will be remembered, and they will continue to be a blessing generation after generation after generation after you're gone. Psalm chapter 112, verse 6. The memory of the righteous will endure forever. So this Memorial Day weekend, you've got a decision to make. What's going to happen to you when you die? You're going to be saved, you're going to be lost. You're going to be remembered, you're going to be forgotten. Is your memory going to be a blessing? Or is it going to be a curse until it fades away forever? And it all depends. It all depends on what you do right now, amen, with Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're sitting in this church today, this Memorial Day weekend, you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've got a question about your salvation, the nanosecond this service is over with, you need to get up to the front of this church, talk to somebody, pray with one of us. If you're not saved, we can lead you into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So you and your deeds will be remembered and will be a blessing forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you, Lord, that nothing we do, and even the times we choose not to do something, that's all remembered by you, and it's all written down in a book. Just thank you, Lord, for that promise, Lord, that in you, through faith in what you did for us in Jesus Christ at the cross, we can stand righteous in your sight, and you can reverse anything. You can recycle any mistake that we have ever made. I just pray for somebody here today who does not know you as their Savior. They would make that decision. Lord, they would just make that confession, receive you, receive that salvation that you want to give them. Pray, Lord, as we go through this Memorial Day week, and you keep reminding us of those incredible people in our lives who've given us so much. I pray, Lord, that we would not waste it. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.